whenever we use the word amp, it means to build in strength. How many of you know God wants us to go from strength to strength? Amen? How many of you know God desires for us to grow in strength in our walk with Him? That every day that we walk with the Lord, every day that we live with Him, we should be moving stronger and deeper into our faith. Amen? To this thing called maturity. Come on, say it with me. Say maturity. At some point, we got to grow up. Only two people say amen to that. At some point, we have to grow up. At some point, they grow up. Amen? Now, we're about to send Jasmine off to university. She's about to go. But how many of you know it would be a problem if Jasmine was at the age of ready to go to university, but she never moved past kindergarten? How many of you know that would be problematic, right? At some point, she had to learn things, didn't she? At some point, she had to layer upon layer, precept upon precept. She had to step forward into this place where now she's ready for promotion. Now she's ready to move to the next thing. And in order for us to do that in our life, how many of you are ready for promotion with Jesus? Somebody say amen. We got to start doing some basic disciplined things in order for us to get to the place of promotion, to amp up. Yeah? And so we've been talking about that the last few weeks. We've talked about what it means to build strength. We've talked about what it means to be to be intentional about things. You guys remember last week we said intentionality matters. Amen? But today I want to talk a little bit about focus. Say focus. Look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 2. And we're going to continue using the Amplified just for this series because the series is called Amped Up and I like it. I probably won't come back to the Amplified again, but we'll go back to the ESV. But today we're going to use the Amplified. And it says this, and set your minds and keep them set on what is above, the higher things. Say higher things. Not on the things that are on the earth. How many of you know, too often we spend a lot of time focused on things that don't matter? You don't seem convinced. How many of you ever focused on something that doesn't matter? How many of you have wasted time focusing on something that doesn't matter? Right? You spend all this time, you get to the end of it, and what do you say? Well, that was a waste of time. Right? What an absolute waste of time that was. My focus could have been better suited somewhere else. Amen? Anybody ever done that, or am I the only one? Right? How sad would it be of a life lived where we were successful in all the things that didn't matter? We were really good, but we focused on all the wrong things. I'm going to tell you right now, I do not want to get to the end of my life just to hear the Lord say, well, instead of well done. Amen? Be like, well, you did stuff. I mean, you didn't do any of the stuff I asked you to do, but you did stuff. Right? See, I don't want to get to that point. I want to know that I'm focusing on the course that is set before me. Amen? See, focus is a powerful thing. Proper focus will keep you centered and on course regardless of the influences that are surrounding you. Without it, you cannot reach the desired destination that God is calling you to without focus. Staying focused specifically during times of crisis or times of upheaval is easier said than done. Somebody say amen to that, eh? You know, this is why the enemy sends chaos into your life. You know, it's like, you know, sometimes I think the enemy's plan is just to throw a grenade in your path and see what happens. Yeah? He tries to bring chaos into your life, and what he's really trying to do is he's trying to make a lot of loud noise to keep you distracted and not focused on what God has called you to. Not focused on the path that God has. Listen, how many of you know everybody's called? But not everybody's called to everything. Oftentimes, he'll throw good things your way. But those good things are just a waste of time if they're not the race that God has set in front of you. Somebody say amen. Staying focused to persevere through difficult circumstances is one of the hardest things you will ever do, especially when you get caught off guard by the unexpected. Now, I'm gonna ask you guys something. How many of you have ever gone through something and it just was completely unexpected? You never saw it coming. Yeah? If you haven't, what do I always say? Just live a little bit longer and it will. You'll have a moment. The unexpected is part of what happens in life. In order for us to do that, to walk through these things, we're going to have to stay focused. Proverbs 4, chapter 20, or verse, chapter 4, verse 25 says this: let your eyes look right on with fixed purpose. Come on, I like that right there, don't you? Let your eyes look right on with fixed purpose and let your gaze be straight before you. Does it say get distracted to that which is on the left and that which is on the right? No. What's right in front of you? What has God placed in front of you? See, too often what we end up doing is like everybody says, okay, I believe God has a plan for my life, but we neglect the things that God has put right in front of us. I want God to do big things, so I'm going to go do this, 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 and this, all the while neglecting the path that God has set right in front of us. How many of you know you have to start with what's set before you? Amen? What's set before you? That's your starting point. That's your starting position, right? You got to start with what's right there. Let's look at our verse from last week. It's Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I'm going to read this again. It says this: therefore then, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses who have borne testimony to the truth, let us strip off and throw aside every encumbrance or unnecessary weight in that sin which so readily and deftly and cleverly clings to and entangles us. And let us run with patient endurance and steady and active persistence. Say this with me: the appointed course of the race. Yeah, there you go. The appointed course of the race. I want to start right there. Yes. Amen. Let him talk. Seriously. He's ahead of me. He knows what he's doing. How many of you know you got an appointed course? And when you're not running your appointed course, you're disappointed. Just because she asked so nicely. Everybody has an appointed course. And when you're not on your appointed course, you're disappointed. Have you ever found yourself disappointed before? I'm going to tell you something. 9 times out of 10, you're disappointed because you're not running your appointed course. You're working at things that don't matter. Come on. But then it goes on to say, the appointed course that is set before you. Not the appointed course that just happened to fall in front of you. Please understand, your course is not an accident. It was set before you by God. He placed it in front of you. He is the one who said, this is the course I want you to run. This is the path I want you to run upon. This is the track. This is the place. How many of you know it would do us no good if we were going to say, okay, we're going to go up to the track up at the middle school. Everybody knows where that is, right? We're going to go up to the track at the middle school. We're going to set everybody in their lane, and we're going to go ahead and we're going to have a race. Now, the race, in order for it to be a course, we have to say the race starts here. You go around, and the race ends here. How many of you have ever run cross country? I haven't because I'm too big. It's too hard, right? Okay, so we got like a whole family. Oh, it happens to be the Hammetts. A whole family of cross country runners, right? How many of you know when these guys ran cross country, and all of them were very good at it, there was a course they had to run. There was a beginning point, and there was an ending point. Guys, what happened if you got off the course? You get disqualified, right? So they take off from a designated point, and they run the course. Now, how many of you know that course, that particularly cross country, is not necessarily a straight, it's not a straight line, is it, guys? You weave, you run, you're over the mountains and through the woods. You know what I mean? It's a track. It's a course, right? And all the while, not only do they have to be focused on what they're doing, and as they're running, they're having to make sure that they're staying on the appointed course that is set before them. And they don't want to get off course because they don't want to be disqualified. Right? Listen, you can't go run somebody else's race. You will be disqualified. Come on. Now, God calls you to run your race, calls you to run your course, the course that he set before you. You may say, well, what if I don't like the path that's set before me? That's my boy. Doesn't matter. Listen, God knows the desired destination where he wants you to go. He knows the outcome. He knows where he needs you to end up. Right? Just because you don't like this stretch right now doesn't mean you won't love it when you get to the end of the race. See, there are some things that I have gone through in my life that I, at the time, I look at it and I say, oh my gosh, I will do anything to get out of this race. I just want to disqualify myself. Can I just step off the track? Step off the course, right? There have been seasons in my life, and I've even gone to God and I've said, God, let me out of this. Get me out of here. How many of you know in the moment where the course gets difficult, our flesh begins to scream? Right? And all you want is relief. Come on. All you want is relief. Get me out of this. It hurts. I don't like it. I can't breathe. That's usually me about 100 meters into a 400-meter run. I don't like this. It hurts us. I can't breathe. My legs are falling out from underneath me. Will anybody care if I just lay here? Just come get me later. You'll do anything you can to get out of the moment. Yet Christ set an example for us. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. What in the world made you think you were going to jump into this race that God has called you to and there wasn't going to have to be moments of endurance? If Jesus had to endure, what makes you any different? Because the servant is not greater than the master. Come on. You guys okay? Everybody still with me today? There's moments in our life where we have to begin to run our race, even when it gets hard. Because on the other side of it is a great joy. You know, it's interesting when we go through this, and I'm going to move quickly because I know we want to celebrate today. But the first thing that happens is this passage tells us to run, right? It doesn't say crawl. It doesn't say contemplate. It doesn't say consider. It doesn't say lollygag, jaunt, walk, stroll. It says what? No, it's not a trick question. It says what? Run. Run, right? How many of you know running has a very specific connotation to it, right? But depending, now, running to me, when I hear the word run, how many of you hear the word effort? Right? But the word in the Greek that they use, run, is a word that portrays somebody who's jumped into a race and is bolting ahead with all of their might to reach the goal that is set in front of them. It's this person is moving at such a fervent pace, such a fast pace, that both of his feet never hit the ground at the same time as they run purposefully. It's not talking about like the way I run. Those of you who have run with me, no, it's really more of a shuffle than a run. It's like I'm on a stingray beach trying not to, you know. And then, of course, when Steve runs, it's like a glorious, gracious gazelle upon the Serengeti as he leaps and bounds to glory. I'm like a wounded warthog in the back just trying to keep up, like a pig hopping a fence. Just, you know, it's like that scene in Captain America. How many of you have ever seen that movie, right? Like, we're out there running, and Steve's like, on your left, there he goes again. On your left, there he goes again. I'm like, I'm not even halfway through. He's passed me twice. It's majestic to watch. Y'all, I feel privileged having just witnessed it in my life. It's like seeing the peaks of the Himalayas or like the Aurora Borealis at night. I've seen Steve run. He's going to kill me so bad for this later. But there's purpose. Come on, amen. It's not strolling towards some accidental end. It's running with intention, with purpose, both feet in full stride. You guys good? Yep. How many of you know? Our eyes have to stay fixed on the goal, and we have to run with this wonderful thing that we all love called patience. Patient endurance. How many of you know we're not really good at patience? How many of you say you got that patience thing down? Anybody? And you all know the rule, never pray for patience. I'm telling you, as pastoral advice, don't do it. Because the Lord will make you be patient. Right? Just agree with him quickly and move on, right? But the word patience, we need to understand the word patience in Scripture when we see it. It actually is a word that means to stay under something and to abide in a spot. To stay under and to abide. And so what happens was it's actually a word that comes together and it gives the idea of a person who is under a very heavy load but decides to stay put and stand firm and refuses to move himself away from the commitment that they've made regardless of the challenges that are placed upon them. How many of you know that that's a much deeper word than just wait? How many of you know we see the word patience and we say wait? Correct? But when you actually look at it in its original text, it doesn't mean wait. It means to stand firm under a very heavy load. It actually is more akin to the word endure. Endure. How many of you have ever had to wait in the DMV? That's more like what we're talking about. Endure to the end, brothers and sisters. Right? If you do not give up your place in line, they will ask you to come forward to the desk if you do not give up. It might be sometime after lunch and it might be 7 a.m., but you're going to get there. Right? But the idea is to wait and to endure, to stand under something. Now listen, I'm going to tell you something. This is the idea of somebody who's under a heavy load, but they stay put. And I think everybody in this place can agree that starting things is easy. Right? How many of you know starting's the fun part? You watch people in a race, right? What happens? You know, okay, so when our kids were little, we used to go to the, what was that called? The RAN and all the elementary schools. Fun Run. That's a stupid name. No such thing. Right? Fun Run. Okay? And I loved getting there earlier and watching the little kids go. Right? Because every single one of them, man, they say go, and then they take off from that line. Their chests are all bowed out. You know what I mean? And they're running, and they just come blasting out of the gate. And then they get to the end, and they're like this, grabbing their knees and they're breathing and they're like, I don't want to do this anymore. That's how I run, by the way. And so they're doing this and they get to the end. And then how many of you know they were having a great time out of the gate? But then the reality got caught up to them. I don't want to do this anymore. He's my favorite. Everybody likes to start something. Man, I tell you what, when people come in and they get excited and they're like, Pastor James, I just believe the Lord told me to do this. I believe that God is calling us to do this. I'm like, great, wonderful, awesome. Prepare your heart. I know it's going to be exciting. I know it is. Prepare your heart because the time is coming where it's going to be challenging. Oh, Pastor James, don't say that. And then within 3 months, Pastor James, it's hard. I know. I tried to warn you. See, starting something is always fun. But the victory is not found in the starting. The victory is found in the finishing. Run your race. that's in front of you. Amen? Endure to the end. Everybody okay today? I need to jump ahead of my notes. So you need to understand that there is a beginning and there's an end. And it's important for us to follow the Holy Spirit the whole way. Amen? He's setting the pace. See, what's wonderful is if we follow the Holy Spirit, He'll tell you when to speed up and when to slow down. He'll tell you when to press forward and when to rest in Him. He'll tell you when more effort is needed, and He'll let you know when more grace is required. He has to lead us and guide us through the course to get us to the end. Amen? But the problem is too many of us, we get trapped in this little thing called comparison. Comparison. The one thing that will rob your focus quicker than anything is comparison. John 21, verses 18 through 22 say this, "I assure you, most solemnly, I tell you, when you were young, you girded yourself, put on your own belt or girdle, and you walked about wherever you pleased to go. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will put a girdle around you and carry you where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate by what kind of death Peter would glorify God. And this he said to him, "Follow me." But Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved, which is John, following, the one who also had leaned back on his breast at the supper and said, "Lord, who is it that's going to betray you?" And when Peter saw him, he said to Jesus, "Lord, what about John? What about this man?" And Jesus said to him, "If I want him to stay and survive and live until I come, what is that to you? What concern is that of yours? You follow me." See, what's happening in this scenario, you've got Peter and you've got John. John's writing the book. And basically, Jesus tells Peter, he's already told him, "You're the rock. I'm going to build the church upon you. But I'm going to tell you, there's going to come a day where you're going to be taken into custody. There's going to come a day where this will cost you." And he looks over and he sees John, who's called the beloved, right? I'm sure he was looking at him, "Well, John's your favorite." You know, I'm sure, you know, because Peter was human. Come on. He says, "Well, what about John?" And I love Jesus' response. "If I want John to live forever, that's up to me. What concern is John to you? Follow me." Isn't that awesome? That's great if you're John. But what about when Jesus says to you, when you start looking around and you start saying, "Well, what about this friend or what about this person? You know, they I've been serving you for so long. I've been doing all the right things, and then all of a sudden they get saved and they're blessed and I'm still struggling. What about their blessing? And what about the things that come on, what's it about then at that point? What do we start saying? What about me? What about what I'm owed? What about what I've done?" And I'm going to tell you something right now. Every single one of us is susceptible to that. I don't care if you've got pastor in front of your name or doctor in front of your name. At some point, every single one of us wrestles with this thing called me. What about me? More offense is born in Christian environments because somebody began to say, "What about me?" And you start looking around and we start comparing our race to somebody else's race. And the next thing you know, we start getting discouraged with our race because theirs looks easier. You know, you think we're immune from it? Pastors? Let me tell you, the first thing anybody asks you when you go to a pastor's conference is, "How many people go to your church?" So I've started saying, "Enough." Enough. Why? It's comparison. Right? because we're validated by how many people love us or follow us or show up on a Sunday morning or show up to the events. This is our validation. Is this our validation, or is completing the course what God has called us to do? Is that what we're here for? Amen? But we start this thing called comparison, and it is an absolute killer. See, it's interesting that this happens in the same conversation as when Jesus restored Peter after his denial of Jesus. Like Jesus, Peter had literally just been restored. Remember, he denied Christ 3 times, and Jesus came to him and said, "Do you love me?" and asked him 3 times, and he restored Peter. Not too there later, Peter's like, but wait a minute, what about him? It's like, Peter, you were just restored to the good graces. I mean, but what about him? It just shows that that's what happened. And so what happened was Jesus was saying to Peter, don't lose focus. You have a race to run, and that race is your own. And we lose focus when we begin to compare our race with others. So what we have to do today, we have to just make a decision to shove all the negative emotions out of the way and decide that we're going to stay put in our race and then make a run for it. Amen? I'll help you run yours, but I'm not going to get myself off on yours. Come on, I'm not going to get myself trying to run your race for you. Amen? I'm not going to get myself in a position where I'm wanting to run somebody else's course. Because here's the truth of the matter. It may look easy to you in that moment, but you're only seeing that moment. Right? Isn't it funny how everybody sees the moment of success? They don't see the 20 years of struggle that went into it. All they see, all you see, come on, is the highlight reel. How many of you ever watch like SportsCenter or something like that, right? Yeah? Like news that shows you, like, for those of you who don't watch sports, it's this show where they take the highlights of what happened in a game so you don't have to watch the whole game to see what happened. But how many of you know, everybody sees it, goes in, they watch the highlight reel, and they see the highlights of what happened, and they go, wow, that's amazing, that's glorious. Nobody sees in order to get to the highlight reel, they had to go to practice, they had to watch what they eat, they had to hit a weight room, they had to train, they had to sweat, they had to develop, they had to suffer. All they see is the person holding up the trophy. And they go, well, why can't I do that? Because you just got a snapshot. You see, what ended up happening, Peter became the establishment of the church. We are living today. We are fellowshipping today because Peter ran his race. Peter, upon this rock I shall build my church. Welcome to church. Right? And Peter was so concerned about John. Now, guess what? Peter ended up being a martyr, correct? Do you guys know the story of Peter? Peter was eventually crucified upside down, right? John was not. But John was exiled, imprisoned, beaten, boiled in oil, but he died of old age. Some would say, John maybe suffered more. Come on. But because both those men ran their race, we are walking in the faith today because faithful men held the course. Amen? Last thing I want to say, Michelle, would you come? I'm going to pray and I'm going to close because I know we want to celebrate today. Your race matters. Your course matters, and it is imperative that you focus on it for the sake of not just yourself and not just your family, but for the generations that will come after. See, guys, there comes a point in your life when you have to start realizing you are not running this race for you. You're running this race for those who come after you. You're running this race so that the generations after us can go further, can go farther, can go faster. Amen? See, at some point, my wife and I quit running this race for ourselves, and we started running this race for our children. But then even at some point, we realized we're not even running a race for just our children. We began running for our grandchildren and their children. We're running for purpose. We're running for this thing called legacy. Come on. That our children can carry the kingdom further than we carried it. They can do more than we did. They can exceed all of our exploits. That truly our ceiling would become their floor. Let your finishing point be their starting point. Amen? And I don't want you guys to think that this is necessarily a race that you cross a finish line and you quit. You need to think of it more as you cross your appointed point and your race is done. And you've now handed on the baton to somebody who's going to run further and farther and faster than you. Amen? There is great purpose, but we must focus. Focus on what God has called you to do. Quit worrying about what God's called everybody else to do. Focus on what God has called you to do. Focus on the things that He's placed before you, that He's set in front of you. Focus on the things that matter to your race. Amen? Cheer everybody else on as they run. Come on. Amen? Cheer everybody as they go, but run your race. Do what God has called you to do. Amen? Let's stand. Real quick, I'm going to ask you guys, would you just go ahead and put that prayer up there for me, please? I know we pray this every week, but we're going to continue praying it because I want to give everybody an opportunity that hasn't said yes to Jesus to be able to pray a prayer in their heart and to be able to start their race. How many of you know you can't start running until you know the one who's appointed your course? Amen? So if you're in here today and you haven't said yes to Jesus, I'm telling you, He has good for you. He has a call for you. He has a desire to bring you to a place of prosperity. But you got to start running. But you can't until you know the one who set the course. Amen? So let's all pray this prayer together for those who may need to pray it for the first time. Let's read together. Say, thank you, God, for loving me before I even loved you. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for me. Thank you that I can get connected to you now because you are alive today. I admit that I've lived my life without you and I've messed up. I ask for your total forgiveness and I commit myself to you. Help me to submit my life to your teaching and direction from now on. I receive you into my life and ask you to fill me with your Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, I just want to welcome you into the kingdom of God. Can we give the Lord praise today? And if you have prayed it for the first time, I just want you to tell somebody. Come tell me. We're going to go to a picnic. The food.